magnify the Lord with me. Let us exalt his name together. It's Wednesday, December 4th, 2017. Well, if you were tuned in for the Monday or Tuesday edition of Mark and Friends, I think you were blessed by the story and testimony and insight and wisdom and the gifts that God has given to Dr. Alex Zachariah, not related to Ravi Zachariah, but from the same province in India. And if you missed either one of those broadcasts, they are archived at greatnewsradio.org. That's greatnewsradio.org. But join me as we pray up our future Wellness Tuesdays. I think that's what we're going to call them. It's all so new, and God has orchestrated this and pulled this together so quickly that I would covet and appreciate your prayers. But I think our topics on Tuesday, henceforth, I don't know how many weeks, maybe 12 or 14 weeks, we're going to talk about unique ways that you can be whole and happy and grounded in the Lord, not only spiritually, but through nutrition, through eating habits, through exercise, through movement, through breathing, a lot of different ways that we can work on the temple of the Holy Spirit, our bodies that God has gifted us with. And so in the days ahead, we'll be talking about Wellness Tuesday, and quite possibly at the Great News Radio Center here in Lincoln Square, we're going to have some free wellness consultations. And I'll have more to say about that. We're still praying it up, but it'll be a way for you to come and visit and spend a little time with either Dr. Alex or even maybe Dr. Jim, who's my special guest today. So you're going to be in for another treat. We kind of have kindred spirits. Doctor, registered dietitian, author. What other kind of caps do you wear?
You know, I guess right now, retired is good, but that just means that I work for 12 different companies.
Yeah, well, or retreaded. God's just retreaded, putting you into some new endeavors or God sightings. Well, as I briefly mentioned on Monday and Tuesday's edition of Mark and Friends, this is filled with these divine appointments or where God orchestrates things. And I did mention how Dr. Alex kind of walked by the Great News Radio Center a little over a week ago. We started talking. We started praying. I felt after hearing some of his testimony and faith journey, he'd be worthwhile to have in, just share, maybe on a testimony Tuesday. But we started talking about wellness and maybe some wellness consultations and maybe a Wellness Tuesday program. And he said, but Mark, you have to meet with my good friend. Now, that's kind of a story in and of itself. This good friend, Dr. Jim Painter, who lives locally some of the time. He travels the world, shares about nutrition, and is a sought-after speaker and lecturer, but also has a home. Where is it? Down in Texas somewhere? Some island? What's it called?
South Padre Island, Texas, about 10 miles from the border. We're staying there part of the time.
Okay, and the other time you're here or traveling and sharing about nutrition. But I don't have your whole biography or your new, soon-to-be-released book, so I could share a little more. But I have this very unique business card in front of me, and I love it. That sun-made raisin logo or graphic that most of us that have ever eaten raisins will be familiar with. And I was a grocery store manager. I put these on the shelf for many, many years. But it says, Sun-Made Growers of California, Jim Painter, Ph.D., R.D., Nutrition Consultant. So you wear, like you said, many different caps. So maybe we'll work backwards. Give us a little update on what you're doing now, and then we're going to work in reverse, because I know you've spent at least 10 years at U of I, 12 years at Eastern. Obviously, you received your Ph.D. and you're a registered dietitian, but God's gotten you on a unique path now in your retirement, if you will. And then we're going to also talk about your faith journey. So we'll see what we can fit in. Have I confused you yet?
No, that's perfectly fine.
You're tracking with me. Okay, great.
You know, so I guess right now, the last 2 years, I retired from Eastern only because my students kept saying, you're never here. And I said, but I taught you from the Bellagio Hotel. And they said, yeah, but you're not here.
Yeah.
And so gradually, I just realized I was too busy working for 12 companies and teaching. And so I dropped the teaching. And I do work for Sun-Made Raisins, Bush's Beans, Paramount Farms Pistachio Health, the National Dairy Council, the Beef Council. I work with a variety of companies going out and giving lectures on nutrition that they sponsor around the world.
Now, what was your interest? Why lecturing now? And what was your field of study, your Ph.D. in nutrition?
Yeah, the Ph.D. was in nutrition. And the research we did on mindful eating, mindless eating, how to lose weight without dieting became so popular that different companies wanted to sponsor me to go out and talk about it. So the research we've done is just simple ways you can lose weight without dieting. And then in the last few years, we've been working on heart health and eating a healthy healthy diet. I mean, really, you can avoid most of the chronic diseases just by eating well. And so we have a lot of companies that want to get that message out too.
Yeah, I have in front of me, now we're going to talk a little about how you met up with Alex and that
right.
kind of unique story, but your soon-to-be-released book, Let's Eat Mindfully, which I think, is that in conjunction with his two books, Let's Move Mindfully and Let's Breathe Mindfully? Is it part of a series?
It is. We're going to try and package the three together and then from there make a wellness program that we take to churches and to businesses.
Okay, so you two are kind of collaborating on
right.
that. But I have a sneak preview on your book, and I think there's 10 or 12 main themes or chapters, like the biggest
right.
problem, obesity, overweight, food is everywhere, portions are bigger, value marketing, size of containers, effective convenience of consumption, visual cues, word meaning things, self-recording, be mindful when, and then shopping, snacking, eating at home, eating out, eating at times. And I think
right.
as we continue to pray up our Great News Radio consultation gatherings that'll
right.
be here, or our Wellness Tuesday, quite possibly a new series we're going to be doing on subsequent Tuesdays, we'll maybe cover some of these in detail. But what was the catalyst behind writing this book? Is it something that people said, you need to write a book, you need to get this on paper, you've been lecturing or teaching, or you're an expert on this? Did somebody approach you and say, please write this down?
You know, many, many times over the past decade. And so when Supersize Me came out, mm-hmm. and he ate fast food for 30 days and gained 24 pounds and almost killed himself, I was flying back from Europe, oh, probably 8 years ago, and was thinking about what he said. You know, fast food's bad. And I'm sitting there having a salad with my wife at Subway. It's all spinach, has five vegetables and tuna. And I thought, fast food's not bad. You know, too much fast food and bad fast food is bad. And so I told my wife, I'm gonna film you every day for 30 days. You're going to eat the right portions. You're going to make healthy options. You're going to eat fast food every day. And we're going to show the world can be done. And what did she say to me? You are nutsy. He said, why don't you get a couple of students? Great. So I got a couple of students, put on a fast food diet for 30 days, ate the right portions, and we published it under Portion Size Me. And so it's still out there. You can buy the video. It's a little documentary on eating out. And since then, people have been saying, why don't you put it into a book? Well, okay, I just haven't had time. I've been busy. And so now's the time. We put it into a book, and we're gonna send it out.
And that book's going to be called Let's Eat Mindfully.
Yes.
And maybe we can have it, and we'll certainly feature it in the coming days, but maybe have it available here at the Great News Radio Center at Lincoln Square. Okay, so two things I think of. We want to talk a little about how you met up with Dr. Alex Zachariah, because you and he will be helping host this Wellness Tuesday program in the future. And then maybe if we have here at the Great News Radio Center a wellness consultation, you might be available for listeners just to give them some tips or practical ways, and
right.
we'll do some of that over the air, but if they want to visit with you and talk with you. But I would be remiss if I didn't have you do a shout out on Rosie. So where did you two meet? Give us a little of that love story, because we have a lot of listeners that are going to become familiar with you and Rosie and your work, and I'm working on recruiting Rosie to be a part of our English conversational classes, because she's got a great background and rich insights and a history in serving internationals and helping people. So I can't wait to meet up with her very soon. But where did you two meet?
You know, I think I'm going to give a longer piece of my testimony up to that point, but I had just gone through this change and I accepted the Lord. Mm. And my best friend's parents said, you need to go on a tech. I said, what's that? And they said, it's a Teens Encounter Christ. It's a Catholic thing. I said, okay, fine. And so I went on this tech.
Now, how long ago was this?
40, a long time.
So you're about in your 20s?
74. Yeah, I was in my early 20s, maybe 20, 21. And so I went to this tech meeting, and I spent the weekend, and my peer group changed instantaneously. Hmm. And all of a sudden, I dropped all my old dopey pop-smoking friends and all that stuff. And then I ended up with this new group of people. And so I went to a Bible study that very first week afterwards, and Rosie was playing the guitar. And she knew one Bible scripture. I thought, she's a genius. She knows everything. So she knew a scripture in Mark. Man, she knows all these scriptures, and she knew one, but she fooled me with that one.
Now, did her personality, her beauty, what captivated you? Like, as you looked across the room, was it love at first sight? Or?
Well, she's leading the whole thing. She's doing the worship with her guitar up there, and I can't play guitar. I like to play guitar, but I can't, and I can't sing, and she does. And, you know, here's this cute little girl up there playing guitar.
Mm-hmm.
And so I went up to her and said, you know, I think that we ought to get together. And so we dated for a while, and we got married maybe a year after that.
Sure,
we didn't date long.
Now, would you say, because I know you had a unique story last week. You were talking a little about how God, kind of the hound dog of heaven, was after you.
Right.
Kept putting these Christians in your way. Did you know what you were committed to as far as following the Lord Jesus Christ at that point? Or were there other baby steps that you were taking along that process of knowing that you needed to follow Jesus?
I actually made a commitment and understood it at that tech,
sure,
of all things. I said, you know what? I really think that this whole gospel message is in the Catholic Church. And many of my friends go, that's impossible. They have to say, okay. I say, yeah, I was only born again as a Catholic. And I heard the basic gospel message there because I went to tech and I kind of heard it there.
Yeah.
And I probably started making a commitment at that tech. And then I got into the charismatic movement for the next, couple of years and learned more about it then. So, you know, when did I first do the commitments? In that period of time when I started understanding,
sure,
what it was. But it was a little bit before that I actually made my first commitment.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I know I tell a lot of people, you know, at age 10, I think, is when I knew I was a sinner.
Right.
Basically, my story, and the listeners are familiar, I'm sure, over these,
right,
20 years I've shared it. But in a quick summary, I heard a message, and they preached, you know, there's a holy God, and we are sinners, and we fall short of the mark, and we need a Savior, and God sent Jesus. And then we had a time where it was all boys around a campfire, and I was around 10 years old. It was Lake Geneva, Covenant Harbor. It was,
yeah,
a Bible camp. But underneath the stars, we're looking up at the sky, and there's a campfire. And I'm thinking, you know, how could you not think there's a God behind this universe? I mean, it was just so simple. I mean,
right,
you look at the universe and you're thinking, it didn't just happen. It didn't just evolve because of primordial slime and we came to be. And there was something behind the universe. And then knowing the talk that he gave and however the Holy Spirit brought conviction and insight. And I said, Lord Jesus, I need you. I'm a sinner,
right,
even as a 10-year-old. But I share that as an example. But I didn't know doctrine at that point. There's a lot of things I didn't know. But I knew that if I was going to die, I had accepted Jesus, asked him into my heart, I would have been secured for eternity because of his work, not because of anything I did or even my great understanding of Scripture, which was very limited at that point.
Right.
So probably you would say that was a defining point where you knew Jesus was Lord, that if you accepted him because of his work on the cross, that you were saved, and then it was a growth process after that?
I guess I would make my first commitment. It's slightly before that, and it's, mm-hmm, what prompted me to go to my best friend's parents, because I had just kind of made the first glimpse of what it really meant.
Okay.
And then when I got into the tech, they kind of had like the four steps to peace with God,
right,
you know, like it was like an evangelistic thing. I thought, what's going on here? And so I learned it there, and then I got into Campus Crusade,
yeah,
and really started growing and learning what it meant to be a believer.
Yeah, because I think you were sharing some of your story where you were hitchhiking,
right,
around, and
right,
you know, don't you know, there's another one of those Jesus people, and there's,
right,
another one of those,
right,
people, to share some of that.
And so, you know, I was an anxious kid. I had ulcers when I was like 10, you know, we would go in and they would look at it. Man, he's really bumped. I'm uptight.
Yeah.
You know, and actually, the verse in Philippians 4, 6, and 7, you know, I used to dream about that. The peace of God which surpasses comprehension. Yeah, that's what I want. Will guard my heart and mind. Yeah, that's what I'm after. And I think I was looking for that for years, and I finally got it.
Yeah.
It took me a while into my Christian walk to get it, but, I mean, I was searching. I read the Bhagavad Gita. I was doing transcendental meditation. It was supposed to make me peaceful. It didn't.
Mm-hmm.
I still had fear would hit me and I'd run. You know, it's just weird. I just had fear was just around me all the time as a kid. And then, so I was this one summer right before I went on that tech, I was hitchhiking. My friend and I went out to a place in Missouri, and we were at a rock concert. We just left. Why we did that? I don't know what we were, 18, 19? And we just took off hitchhiking. We hitchhiked up to West Yellowstone, and there were some kids singing. I said, let's go listen to them. And my friend said, they're Jesus freaks. My parents are Jesus freaks. They're in this Catholic charismatic movement. And I said, I don't care. Let's go. So we went over there and talked to them, and they started sharing with me what it meant to be a believer. Okay. And so I would have the right words. How do you know faith? You know, do you believe in Jesus? Yes. You know, and they went through the whole story, but I wasn't a believer, and they didn't catch it. And then we got up to Montana, and we couldn't get a ride, so he went west, and he got mugged and flew home. went, and I kept hitchhiking east. And so I got picked up by a Catholic priest. I got picked up to pimps. They drove me for 1,000 miles. We're sitting there in the bathroom peeing together. And he says, do you want to be a pimp? And I go, gee, I think I might want to go to college. Yeah. You know, he goes, but pimping's good. And I said, no, I really can't pimp right now.
And so it's not on my bucket list. Let me check it again. No.
So I hitchhiked down. My parents were in Florida at my grandparents' house. And I'm on the highway, and the cops kick me off the highway. And I said, what am I going to do? And I had $4 in my wallet because I'm stupid when I hitchhike.
And this is back in the 70s?
It's in the 70s. Okay. And so early 70s. And so I bought a bus ticket for $4 to go down there. I had
Last $4,
my
right?
last four yeah. bucks. I just didn't carry money either because, again, I wasn't a very smart child. And I walked into this.
Maybe that's why some of those ulcers in the early time, you know.
And so I went to this coffee shop, and a little girl says, praise the Lord, are you a Christian? I said, well, of course, I'm an American. He goes, oh, no. And she explained to me for hours. She got her pastor over there. They explained to me. And I said, I just don't get what Jesus has to do with me. Mm-hmm. And I left there with this glow, like, she knows something I don't know. And I went down to my grandparents' house, and I hung out with them. And then later that summer, I was hitchhiking from Quincy, Illinois, back to Syracuse, New York. It was 2 o'clock in the morning. We're driving through Erie, Pennsylvania. And the guy swore, and I look up, and we were spinning out at 80 miles an hour in the front of the highway. We crashed exactly backwards with this little Vega, and the back seats bent up around our heads. Everything's crushed. Not a scratch on either one of us. And the guy says, who's he? The cop, they didn't know him. I didn't know him. And so they took me to a place to get a room for the night, and I don't have any money again because I'm not smart enough. I thought I'd get to my friend's house. And so I was going under the bridge. I was going to sleep under the bridge. It had been raining all night. It was muddy. And I got up on the highway at 2 in the morning. I start hitchhiking. I'm cussing. I'm swearing. I'm upset. Within 5 minutes, a guy stops and says, God told me to pick you up. Really? He said, are you a Christian? I said, of course, I'm an American. He goes, oh, no. And so he tries to tell me this message. I mean, it was everybody and their brother was stopping me for 6 months. And then I'm at the Community Counseling Center in Quincy, Illinois, later that summer. And I'm counseling people, and it was dull. And so I'm listening to a Billy Graham crusade, and he told the story. There was a girl caught speeding, and she was there with a cop. And she says, I'm innocent. The cop says she's guilty. And the judge said $50 fine. And the odd thing then was he took off his coat, and he walked around, and he paid the fine for her. Because he was a just judge, a payment had to be made. But he was a loving father, and he wanted to pay the price for her because that was his daughter. And he said, that's what Jesus did for you. Is that what people have been trying to tell me all this time?
Is it that simple?
Is it that I sinned, he paid the price, and I just trust him? I thought, I can do that. So that's when I made the commitment. And I went to my best friend's Jesus freak parents and said, what am I going to do now? And they sent me off on a tack and went to the tack ended up with Campus Crusade and just started growing as a Christian.
Then when did you decide to head into the field of nutrition? Were you always kind of conscientious about what you would eat and right. that kind of thing? Or was that just something somebody recommended?
And again, I was headed to medical school. I wanted to help people. And so I'm going to medical school and I took a nutrition class and thought, oh my goodness, that is what I want to do. I want to not heal people. I want to get there where they don't get sick in the first place. And so I took a nutrition class my second year of college. Everything flipped, and I went into nutrition.
Wow. Okay, then the Rosie thing, you met her?
At the Tech. Okay. I met Rosie at the Tech right after I was born again. I went to my best friend's parents. They sent me on the Tech. I know nothing when I go to that Tech.
Yeah.
And I'm learning this stuff, and she knows one Bible scripture.
Is that when you were saying the book of Job? Common occurrence for new believers.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, I'm excited to meet up with her and get some of her faith journey. And maybe from her perspective, was it love at first sight? Or was she intrigued by your charisma? Or what drew her to you?
So I don't think she drew to me at all. As a matter of fact, I was on that hitchhiking thing a few months before that. Mm-hmm. I went with this bus of charismatics from Quincy up to Notre Dame. And then they dropped me off. And she remembers this long-haired, greasy hippie guy. On the bus. She didn't meet me then.
Yeah.
She met me after I had cleaned up and my hair was there. So, I'm not sure she was all that attractive as I was.
Yeah. You grew on her and now married how many years?
41.
41. Well, congratulations. Well, I know there's a lot more to say in the days ahead, and we're going to be praying up your new book soon to be released called Let's Eat Mindfully.
Thanks.
And we're going to have you involved in Wellness Tuesday. We're still praying up the concept and how you and Alex can work that out. And we can have you in the studio and talk about different aspects of taking care of your body that will help assist in, you know, our spiritual welfare, along with obviously the health of our body and our minds and hearts and souls. But
right.
I initially asked you, how did you meet Alex? So we'll bring it round circle and then keep you back for the Thursday edition of Mark and Friends, have you come back tomorrow. But when did you and Alex meet up, and how did that come together?
Alex and I met a few years ago. I gave a little lecture at the Vineyard, and he was in the audience, and he came up, and we started talking. He said, you need to go to India, and you need to write a book. I don't have time. And the next year, he says, you need to go to India. I don't have time. I don't have time. And then we're getting into almost a third year here, and I decided I need to go back to this orphanage, because I've been working with this orphanage in India. It's a friend of mine, and it's a Christian orphanage for AIDS kids. And I made a decision a year ago in November, I'm going to go. Mm-hmm. So I gladly just got an email out and tried to call Alex, and I'm going. And I heard nothing in late November. Okay, so I'm going out there on whatever date it was, January 18th. I sent it to him. And then he finally calls me after Christmas, between Christmas and New Year's, this time last year, and said, I have a story for you. Okay, is that why you've been ignoring me for the last month?
Yeah, because he had wanted you to go to India for some years.
He had wanted me to go for years to India. And so he gave me his whole story, the testimony that he gave you, that he was under this diagnosis and he'd gotten out of it. And I said, that's great. I said, I'm going to India. He said, so am I. Well, I said, I'm getting there on whatever day it was, the 18th. And he goes, so am I. Mm-hmm. I said, what? And he said, do you mind if I set up some meetings for you? I said, no, I want to spend the time with the orphans. And he said, please. And I said, okay, fine. And so he calls me up the next day and he says, you're doing the keynote address at the National Institute of Nutrition in India for the annual meeting of their Dietetic Association. Really, the day after we arrive,
yeah.
He goes, do you mind if I set up some other meetings? No. I said, I want to stay with the kids. And he goes, yeah, fine. So he set up some meetings. And so after I gave my lecture, I gave a lecture for whatever, 50 minutes or an hour, and he gave a little 10-minute lecture after that or something like that. And then we met with everybody. We met with the head of the National Institute of Nutrition, all the people that run the food programs over there, the nutrition scientists that are there. We went room to room and just met everybody who's anybody in India. And I think, God, there is no way I could plan anything right. like this. No way. Right. And Alex sure can't plan it either. Yeah. But it works out to this amazing event where I get to talk to anybody who's anybody in nutrition in India.
Right.
And so I'm going to go back in a couple of weeks and follow up on a lot of those meetings, but I marvel at how God puts things together that my little brain, people say, what's your 10-year plan? I said, it's Proverbs 3. You know, trust in the Lord with all my heart, don't lean on my understanding. But you're a professor. I know. That's pretty dangerous to lean on your own understanding as a professor. You know, trust in him and he'll direct your path.
Yeah. Wow. Well, we're going to have you back for the Thursday edition of Mark and Friends. More to share about your story and your new book, Let's Eat Mindfully, soon to be released. And then how God will use you and Dr. Alex in a Wellness Tuesday program that will be ongoing in the coming days, and even giving out free wellness consultations here at the Great News Radio Center. So we'll be praying that up. Thank you for tuning in, everyone. Thanks for being a part of this radio listening family. This is Mark Burns with the Ministry of Great News Radio. God bless you. Have a great day and night.